Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It is Thursday, 12th of November, 2020. We had a slightly more normal session yesterday in the U.S. At least there was pretty broad rally across the board. It was NASDAQ 100 stocks managing to put in a positive session after what we described as a quant quake yesterday. We're not the only ones using that description. Some really unprecedented moves in the whole value complex versus momentum. All these sort of factor following algorithms, et cetera, really hitting a brick wall in a lot of ways in the wake of this news about a potential effective COVID-19 vaccine. I think we really covered the topic well in yesterday's podcast. I would encourage folks to find that one from yesterday and listen to our discussion there with Peter Garnery, who's not with us on the call today. But the key thing being really, and we have a NASDAQ 100 chart up on slide two, in today's slide deck, you can see we've bounced a lot, but really we're still in the shadow of this sell-off. Likewise, the ripping rally we saw earlier this week in the S&P 500, we need to sort of erase that this sell-off too. Otherwise, we're going to be closing this week with a rather ugly candlestick. And then on the downside, we'd focus in on the 11,500-ish area that I've put on the chart here on slide two for the NASDAQ 100, if that's what folks are trading. Do note as well, the 100-day moving average has been quite interesting as a trend indicator and is creeping up there. That's the purple line at the bottom. That was sort of near where the lowest daily close was back in late October. But we talked as well yesterday, and it's great to have you in the studio with us today, Althea, on U.S. yields as, you know, at least on the, and I know it's not your focus, but on the NASDAQ 100 side, those sort of bond-like stocks where you can look at their sensitivity to U.S. rates. That was the main driver, we think, of some of these stocks suffering the weakness as U.S. yields have gone higher. We're looking at the highest yield levels in the U.S. now since the whole springtime train wreck in markets at this 1% level. And I talked about the 1.5% level as sort of a flatline area from back in the lows and the yields back in 2012 and 2016, I believe it is. But you also point out here on this chart you've brought with you with us on slide three, that it's basically the top of the trend line, if you will, stretching back decades, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's quite interesting. And this makes the point that the Federal Reserve might intervene at the level of 150 that you highlighted already yesterday, not just because interest rates are rising and, at that point of time, maybe inflation is still lagging, but just because they would see it alarming that the 10-year yield is breaking like a descending decennial trend line. So at this point, I think that the 1.5 level, it's quite important. And I just would like to highlight that even though we had treasury auctions for the 10-year treasuries in the past 2 days, which was quite successful, we have seen that there were less indirect bidders. It means less real money and less foreigner investors. Today, we have the 30-year treasury auction, and it will be interesting where this goes, and especially if the longer part of the yield curve will continue to steepen.
Right. That's important points there, and that we can't emphasize enough, and especially on that chart on slide three. Recall back to when that trend line was actually broken for a time back in 2018. That 3% level, that essentially just crashed markets when the U.S. 10-year yield was heading above 3%. Obviously, with a more fragile economy, the level at which the 10-year starts to certainly affect asset prices and risk impacting the economy is that much lower once again. Let's go out to a couple of FX stories. Just wanted to point out, we've talked a lot of yesterday as well about some of the antitrust moves in China against some of these big monopoly companies and what the message being sent there was. If you look at some of these companies' stocks, it's pretty remarkable the adjustment. There's a big message that they seem to have received from this move. Tencent is reporting to tonight. As far as I know, they've also suffered a big haircut in their share price, again, on this antitrust move. I'm wondering as well, just maybe some of the enthusiasm around the flows into China and the Chinese currency in Hong Kong could be hitting the space finally after this incredible rally we've seen, for example, in the Chinese renminbi. So you can look at slide four and see where we are there. We're pushing on for the dollar CNH, which is the offshore tradable Chinese yuan. We are looking at close to the highs for the week here. And if I think we're heading above there, we could be looking into 675 as an area. That's a line you can see on the chart. And then the major level is 685. That looks a bit far away, that second level. But just looking at that as a way that we may finally see some consolidation here. Also, very importantly, I think the Chinese authorities and the PBOC, the PBOC, looking at this basket, this official CNY or Chinese Yuan basket, which hit a major resistance level last week. And then finally on FX, or another point on FX, is the euro dollar. We're running out of retracement room here. If it's getting below about 117.25, we're really starting to talk about a technical reversal of this rally off the back of the US election result. And a couple of things yesterday keeping, I think, the euro dollar a bit lower was the ECB President Lagarde's speech, talking up QE and TLTROs as the relying on those clearly and what their policy mix will be as a sort of a pre-announcing what's going to happen in December. So we can expect maybe an even larger QE package than was previously expected, even larger and longer maturity TLTROs to support bank lending, etc. There is no interest rate mention on that in the speech, however. I guess nominally hawkish, but not really. I don't think the market is highly anticipating any ECB rate cuts. But she did mention the exchange rate as something that could affect the inflation outlook, sort of a classic Draghi move there. In any case, we're just getting into the zone where this thing needs to find support. Otherwise, it's not a technically significant rally, and we're going to start looking higher for the dollar. And I guess the yields we just talked about could be one driver there. And I want to get back to this high yield story. I'll say, I think it was very interesting, but Ola, you're waiting patiently on the line here. We had a pretty interesting move in crude oil as well. And like that enthusiasm, that almost vertical rally just was suddenly checked yesterday after breaking some interesting resistance.
Indeed, John, we saw it above 43.50 earlier in the week and managed to get all the way up to 45.30 on Brent. But yesterday was the bar that the candle that was put in yesterday was pretty grim, basically closing right on the lows. And I think it is. I mean, we're all suffering from virus fatigue now, but it is, unfortunately, we cannot ignore the fact that we are seeing the count continue to reach new highs. We're seeing it's starting to reach the cities again in the U.S., the major cities, after having been an urban or a rural issue for a while, and it is just the problem with crude oil right now, that we had the vaccine hope early in the week, and now we've got the virus fear back again, and we can't reason enough that crude oil and other commodities are spot products that need to balance on a daily basis. And it just doesn't, we can't have a market. Crude oil is just simply not, hasn't got the luxury of rallying now on the base on a recovery in 6 to 9 months time in demand. We need to see the demand recovery before it can really start to recover in earnest. So that's why that virus fear, I think, was helped send it back down again. Also yesterday, the monthly oil market report from OPEC basically put out a pretty somber outlook here. They downgraded their demand recovery for 2021 for the fourth consecutive month, lowering the expected amount of oil that OPEC needs to produce in order to balance the market. And that's really just adding some additional pressure on OPEC not to go ahead with their production hike in January. And I'm pretty sure at this stage that we're getting close to 100% chance that they won't do it, because the market simply cannot absorb it this time. And then just on oil as well, the inventory report from the US, which gave the market a bit of a excitement yesterday morning, is actually not coming out until today because of the Remembrance Day yesterday. So we got the report coming out late this afternoon, quite late, 4 o'clock CET. So so that's the one that potentially could swing the market today. Also, monthly report from the IEA.
And then connecting our interest rate and longer U.S. yields talk with gold, I can't help but notice the sort of inverse correlation we're seeing on your chart there on slide 9. I have to imagine we get a further risk of a breakdown if we are going to see a rush higher. And let's say that the 10-year yield does poke noticeably above, or notably above, the 100 basis point level. That might give some gold traders cause for pause. In longer term positioning, it looks like a pretty big line there on that chart around that 1850 level.
Absolutely, John. And also just below that, we got 1835, which is the 38.2% retracement of the whole run-up we had since the March low. So that it is indeed a key area of support. And you are right. The break above 1%, if that happens, would create some negative headlines for the gold market. We obviously have to break down the rise, the yield, into break evens and real yields, see what's which one is on the move. But initially, it could create some additional need for some profit taking. But overall, the ETF holdings have been resilient and stable, around 111 million ounces now for the past 2 months, and that's during this time where the market has been starting to show a bit of been wobbling a bit. So investors are, with a longer term perspective, they're not considering throwing in the towel at this point, and I think they're probably right in having that attitude to the market. But clearly, in the short term, potentially some further risk there. So we simply need to keep an eye on what Althea is saying and what the bond yields are doing. So that is key in the short term. Obviously, yeah. together mm-hmm. with your forecast on the dollar, because these are the two key drivers right now.
Yeah, and I think it's actually reflexive there. I think if U.S. rates are headed higher, that's another issue that's supporting the dollar until and very, very, triple underlined, until the Fed comes in and says we're going to cap yields. And that's when I think that the dollar bear really kicks in, if that eventuality does obtain. But I'll tell you, let's get back to you. This is a really great chart you've put given us on slide 6, perspective on what has happened with bond performance this month. So this month is not very old. We're only a few days in, or 11 days in here. And we've seen, we talked about the rising treasury yields. You can see that they're up about 8 basis points. I assume that's the 10-year.
That's an aggregate.
An aggregate. Okay, so it's probably a bit more than the 10-year. But and then you're seeing 100 basis points almost drop in corporate high yield. So a feeding frenzy on the riskiest debt. What's your perspective here? What do you think the market is thinking in this strong bid for high-risk corporates?
Yeah, I think that at this point in time, John, the market is buying the narrative that we have a vaccine economy, the economy is going to be back on track, and we are going to see a better than expected growth. And on the top of that, if that doesn't happen or it is delayed, we have the Fed that is going to cap yields, which might give some upside even in the lower rated credits. However, I think that at this point of time, the levels that we are seeing in the junk bond space are quite worrying. I've seen the biggest upside in this month was gained by the lowest part of the junk sector. And the sectors that have gained from it are airlines, consumer and staples, hospitality business. So names like Macy's, American Airlines, these were companies that were in difficulties before the crisis. They were highly in debt, and they had a huge capital structure that, you know, they struggled to maintain. I'm really wondering if it's the case to bet in these names during a recovery, right? Because a recovery also implies higher inflation, which ultimately might shake these businesses further.
Yeah, and then you may not have as much support from the Fed or otherwise. But just to translate that, we don't have any prices up here for bond, but it's something that's a bit longer duration out there in a low quality name that's seeing a bid coming in, seeing yield drops like this, you're seeing some huge moves in the underlying instrument of several percent. So 100 basis points is not how much the underlying instrument actually went up in the case of a high risk bond. So yeah, some heavy speculation there, but just an interesting contrast. I think I will round out one more story on FX, the Turkish lira. Just to have to mention it here, it has really come back powerfully, well back below 8. You had this big shuffle at the top where Erdogan fired the central bank governor and has a new finance minister. And importantly yesterday, because he is the political top and because he has shown so much political sway or interested in swaying policy, sending the message that he will, quote, implement bitter pill policies if needed. You couldn't get any clearer that he's sort of defeated on the front, and that if necessary, the central bank will take measures like drastically hiking rates to get this Turkish lira, this currency crisis risk, get back on top of things. And also, they've already pulled back a lot of these disastrous credit injection policies that were really creating some imbalances. And already as well, the current account has been ironing out in the right way too. So I think this lira opportunity, it obviously was far better when we were trading it at 850, but could be one if there is a global recovery shaping up here, there could be some value in there, especially with the added carry helping you out as a tailwind in terms of the risk you're taking if the central bank does follow through and hikes rates. And then finally, I just want to mention on the U.S. election call, I sort of waxed a bit scary yesterday in talking about where this could go. I would just today say that maybe the complacent view is that we have to hope as well, just for the sake of orderliness, is that those fellow Republicans are just letting Trump's attempts at lawsuits play out for a while until it's shown supposedly that there hasn't been sufficient signs of fraud or whatever the accusations are to overturn the election result, and that the situation will simply move on, whether that's on the scale of a few weeks or a little bit longer. So that has to be the complacent view. And then specifically, it looks like the state of Georgia is headed for a so-called hand recount because it was the closest result by certainly in percentage terms. And then in Arizona, Trump's efforts not really panning out so far. The Republican attorney general there saying it's highly unlikely the result in Biden's favor will be overturned. And a Maricopa County judge throwing out an attempt by the Trump side to look at some case on insufficient evidence. So a defeat there for the Trump side. And then on the calendar today, I guess, I don't know how much the market is reading into the latest CPI figures, but we do have a U.S. CPI number and the latest weekly claims. And just given where yields are in the U.S. at these key levels, it could just be interesting if there's a big outlier in the data and this moves yields higher. In particular, that's where the pressure point is for the outlook. So keep on your toes around that. And I guess that'll do it for today. So for today, thanks for joining. And we will be back tomorrow with the Saxo Market Call.